Every form of research would be colored by the funding engines designed to that advantage. Such efforts would distract the most powerful to maintain its lead, and the lesser powerful to discover a way to unseat the former. Resources that could be used to peacefully explore the stars would instead be used to launch surveillance satellites or space-based weapons. Resources that could discover cures for disease and suffering would be employed to create or defend against microbial or viral warfare agents. Keeping the planet in constant turmoil and conflict is one way to assure the cycle of self-annihilation. Modern evidence indicates that at least remnants of such designed conflict is still responsible for global terror. It seems, though, that leaders have come forth in the last 50 years who have recoiled from the use of such expenditure of energy. As long as they remain in power, it seems that global thermonuclear war may be abated. So how then would the Nephilim use their skills to bring this more reserved world into submission? The ultimate goal is to form a single government that could control everything. We fear this consolidation more than anything else. Or do we? The greatest generation knows the weaknesses and prophecies of such a government. They would never allow the tools needed by such a leader to rule the world to be forged. The mark of the beast is a very familiar tool foreseen by many to enslave all of mankind to a single malevolent leader. Generation Xers, those born to boomers, are much less swayed by the prospect of evil. When modern leaders speak of a one-world government, they use sweet tones and paint pictures of great economic benefits for the whole world. Still, it has meant the demise of every political leader who has floated the idea on national media. So how will the Nephilim accomplish their goal? How will the entire race of man be brought into this new and all-powerful system? Here is how it will be done. The Mark of the Beast. Since the design and utilization of the sale of stock and other forms of bearer bonds or securities as a means of financing, the civilized world works the exchange of currencies for good and labor. Locally, it has worked in some form or another since the first coins were minted. But exchange between one currency and another has always been an issue of conflict. When pilgrims came to ancient Jerusalem to worship at the temple through various sacrifices, they had to convert their money into temple script. That script could be used to purchase items needed by the pilgrim for his purposes. Such a pilgrim might have traveled from afar, and at no small expense, come with a humble heart to pay some homage and absolve a sin or two, bless some particular crop, or petition the healing of some family member. Although perhaps taken aback at the horrific rate of exchange on the temple grounds, he would likely capitulate without much recourse. During at least one such pilgrimage, Jesus cleared the temple grounds of such profiteers with prejudice. In modern times, we are plagued by the same forces of profit through manipulation of one's currency relative to other forms of exchange. The disruption upon the global economy of one government printing money to pay its bills or make massive capital acquisitions has caused more than one economic crash. The wealthy class of early 20th century aristocrats controlled nearly 100% of all the world's resources for more than 40 years. There were the extremely wealthy, and then the millions who worked for 25 cents a day and a box of potatoes. There was no middle class. The lucrative banking and stock exchanges of those days encouraged working people to put their money in the bank. Those banks would then purchase stock on the exchange, sometimes at 90% margins. This means that they could profit from stock upon which they had only made a 10% down payment. If the stock went up, which it almost always did, they built value and reaped huge profits. If it went down, which it almost always didn't, they would be required to make the call or pay the debt in full. All went well until the late 1920s. The world's extremely wealthy slowly withdrew from the exchange so as not to upset the prices of stock. They kept all of the wealth in the form of debt-free land, oil, gold, utilities, and cash. There is great speculation as to what actually caused the market to crash in 1929, but the results are irrefutable. The middle class evaporated overnight. Stocks that once sold for $20 could be bought for a penny. The price of labor, goods, and services dropped so low that the wealthy were able to repurchase entire companies and, in fact, bought entire governments for fractions of pennies on the dollar. One could conjure up pictures of the Great Gatsby or the Rockefellers to represent the class of individuals who were richer than any modern billionaire. They owned the oil wells, the trucks and trains that hauled it, the refineries, the stations that sold it, and set the price of everything so as to make it impossible for anyone to compete with them. If it wasn't for the Sherman Antitrust Act, they would still own the world. War only made them richer, while the sons and daughters of the poor provided fodder for global wars through a forced draft. Not surprisingly, the wealthy could buy deferments, thus keeping their legacy alive. So how could that happen again? Would we allow ourselves to be governed by a small group of corruptible men again? Not that generation. They still had the memory of working for 25 cents a day and all the potatoes they could carry home. They remember the soup lines and welfare projects that dusted the world while private steamships and caravans bore the wealthy from one casino to the next. The design has necessarily become more sophisticated now. The currencies of the world are shrinking in number. The dollar and the euro have replaced dozens of currencies. The International Monetary Fund has been used to stabilize the inflations and depressions of smaller nations. Stock exchanges are more stable and have margin regulations in place to prevent catastrophic financial crashes. There is more real equity in the world, and the base of wealth is broad enough so that no nation can completely fall economically. Still, the exchange rate robs billions of dollars in real profits from hard-working people all over the world. It is a major source of loss for many nations. Doing away with the exchange of currencies would most assuredly save millions of jobs and help every nation compete more freely and openly. The formation of a single currency for the entire world would be a major benefit for the world. It would also be a keystone of the Nephilim's design for planetary dominion. Some form of cash has been the form of exchange used by mankind for over 10,000 years. When you paint a house, mow a yard, program a computer, or fix a car, your effort is exchanged equally for currency. That currency can be taken anywhere in the world and traded for something else. That is a simple concept. Cash is the most powerful force on the planet. It fuels our cars, builds our houses, and even serves as a form of speech. Trading it or withholding it has phenomenal effect on the planet. We cast out or elect new leaders with it. We propagate ideas that are representative of our own through radio, newspaper, and television, because we buy the products from sponsors of those programs. If we cease to support those programs with our cash, they cease to exist, unless they are artificially supported by governments as propaganda outlets. Cash is also uncontrollable. It is the ultimate form of freedom. Save it, spend it, donate it, your choice. However, it has some costs associated with it. There are three costs that are unbearable for a free and peaceful society. First, it is the means by which illegal drugs are distributed throughout the world. Forget about legalization as a means to eliminate the crime of drugs. Many nations have tried it for centuries. The addiction of an entire nation is no solace for making drugs legal. Opium addiction nearly cost the lives of an entire generation of China and Western Europe. Bales of cash are smuggled out of America every day to pay for tons of heroin, cocaine, and marijuana that result in more than 95% of the murders, auto accidents, and divorces. Without cash, there would be no drug business. Doing away with cash would stop the drug trafficking business cold. No one would scan a debit card to pay for a gram of cocaine. The funds would be seized and the participants would go to jail. Second, cash is the exchange of terrorism. There are many providers of weapons in the world. None of them will donate weapons and ammunition to rogue nations or terror groups. They certainly don't take credit. The only way to fuel an army of any size is with cash, jewels, or precious metals. Controlling these forms of exchange is the way to prevent rebellion against the system. The Economic Council of West African States prevents the sale of what is known as conflict diamonds to anyone outside the region. The influx of cash to purchase diamonds or other jewels is what fuels warfare in that region of the world. No one would electronically exchange cash for weapons. They would be captured before they finished unpacking the boxes. Third, the cost of printing and maintaining cash is unbelievable. Millions of bills are printed every week to replace the worn and damaged bills in the banking system. There is an entire division of the government that deals with the creation, storage, and distribution of cash. Thousands and thousands of armored trucks travel every city in America, carrying billions of dollars to banks and places of business so commerce can take place. The amount of money spent just handling cash is enough to pay off the debt of the entire state of California. Add to that the hundreds of millions of dollars in counterfeit cash that is smuggled into America as a form of economic terrorism, and there is no doubt we must eliminate cash from our society. All electronic monetary exchanges and all cash exchanges over $10,000 are currently monitored by the U.S. Treasury Department. Do you have any doubts of this technology? Here's how it works. The next time you go to the grocery and take advantage of the barcoded discount card in your possession, consider this. Every item you purchase is tracked with that barcode. Your profile, including all the information you provided the grocer when you obtained that discount card, is collected and modified with every purchase you make. The amount of orange juice sold in a certain zip code to a certain age group is vital information to the grocer and the producer of the orange juice. It helps both of them adjust their production, stock, and advertising budgets for your exact market area. When your debit card or credit card is stolen and used by another person, there is an extremely slim chance that they will match your purchasing profile. Within hours of that deviation, the card is deactivated. The process is so effective now that nearly every bank provides identity theft insurance free of charge. The only thing that would make the system more effective and less susceptible to loss is a better form of electronic identity. There are massive efforts and technologies being applied to the public to process all regular purchases or debt payments using online or cyber cash methods. This is currently called an automated clearinghouse, or ACH. This allows banks to move funds from one to another instantly, making adjustments for currency exchanges on the fly. As of the writing of this book, the proposal to eliminate cash from our society has not been completely implemented. It will be. The Nephilim have very carefully facilitated the capture of every single person inside the system. About 10% of the population of America still works for cash. They mow grass, style hair, work on cars, and paint houses for cash. They buy everything with cash. They don't exist in the income tax system. They cannot be tracked to their banking habits because they don't use banks. Grocery discount cards indicate their demographics. How much they spend, what they buy, and where they shop is known. With a little data matching, the system could even determine the most likely sources from which they get their cash. The core to the plan is that cash will be eliminated. The proposal will be sold to Americans using the three reasons listed above. This would mean that every single dollar would be absorbed into a completely electronic form of exchange. Don't think this is impossible. I doubt you could find 20 people tomorrow that have $100 in cash on them. The electronic debit card or credit card will buy everything, from airplane tickets to a small order of fries. Every single bank provides their customers with debit cards. The next generation will accept the elimination of cash as so logical and sensible, they'll think having cash is as useless as owning a buggy whip. The beauty and evil of the plan is that it will work. Drug traffic would be greatly curtailed through the elimination of currency. War on any grand scale would be virtually impossible. Costs associated with printing and maintaining the integrity of the actual bills and coins would be put back into the national treasury. But there is another value in bringing all the financial incomings and outgoings into the electronic world. The revenues gathered by the government from the people's income is currently a system of catch me if you can. No taxpayer wants to render one more penny unto Caesar than is absolutely required. Even then, as a people, we spend billions of dollars on charities and other tax-deductible organizations to defer as much of our earnings as possible away from the government. Nevertheless, each spring, we voluntarily submit our forms and documents concerning our private lives to the auspices of the Internal Revenue Service to validate our contribution. With the new electronic currency, no one will be able to exist outside the system of revenue. No one will be able to hide income in the form of cash. No one will be able to spend a single penny without paying tax and causing tax to be paid by the recipient. So, besides lowering overall costs, the new system will vastly increase revenues. In short, the government will receive many times the income they ever received in the cash system. The only challenge left in the system is a flawless form of identification. Retinal scans, fingerprints, DNA, implanted microchips, and even tattooed barcodes all have been explored, Each one has its advantages and weaknesses. Although it is not the purpose of this chapter to weigh those values, it goes without saying that it all depends on the extent to which an enemy will try to defraud the system. Whether or not that threat exists to any amount or not, the Nephilim have one goal in mind. It is not the protection of all law-abiding citizens from identity theft. Their purpose is to make sure no man, woman, or child can survive without being fed and clothed through the system. The implantation of chips under the skin is already practiced with farm animals and pets. It stores all the inoculations, birth genetics, and ownership records for easy access. It has replaced the ear tag for millions of animals already. It is also installed in some automobiles as a theft recovery device. It is installed in cell phones, credit cards, and even shipping containers for global location. The technology is being made faster, cheaper, and more foolproof each day. The greatest generation would never accept a subcutaneous implant. Even Generation Xers would resist the implant. But the generation born in the 1980s will accept the implant. The sales job will be so easy, there will scarcely be a human alive that won't support it. Every state in America will require the implantation of identity chips in all farm animals. As of the writing of this book, this mandate is nearly universal. Every day, the news is blasted with one kidnapping after another. Children, young women, and boys, even college-age girls, have always been kidnapped on a weekly basis. But since 2002, the major radio and television news networks have broadcasted these disappearances in an effort to save lives. The instant notification and tracking systems, currently known as Amber Alerts, can get the entire public to help find a missing child in a matter of minutes. A popular program called America's Most Wanted had a phenomenal record of facilitating the capture of hundreds of criminals. The parent of every child enrolled in a public school is encouraged to have their child fingerprinted, photographed, and even supplied with ID bracelets for rapid identification. The GPS microchip implant would be the ultimate lifesaver. Parents have been urged to supply their children with cell phones equipped with GPS, global positioning satellite chips, so they can be tracked by law enforcement for a speedy recovery. But a cell phone can be lost. The preferred method of security is to implant the chip beneath the skin. The instant a life is saved by one of these chips, there will be instant national support for the implant. Evidence of the workings of this plan is carved into the soul of mankind. It is to make it impossible for the people to rise up and commit heresy against the godlike Nephilim. A prophet, a writer, or a rebel leader will always be inspired to rise up against total government, even if the living conditions are tolerable. There is an innate spirit inside every human that yearns to be free. It takes many generations of oppression and domination to break the will of a people to seek freedom. But individually, that desire remains. Inmates in America are treated in such a way as to experience no daily pain. They have health care, meals, clean clothes, and facilities through which they might be rehabilitated. But they are not free. Denial of breathing the air on a public beach, or hiking in the green lowlands with friends, or watching a movie in a theater is suffering for the people incarcerated inside of those prison walls. They cannot escape. Neither will mankind be able to escape the auspices of the rulers of the world when this plan is completely implemented. What do we do? To whom do we turn for deliverance? How can this be avoided? Do we even want to avoid it?